أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters. In last night's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced us to a believer from the people of Antakya. And that was a man by the name of Habib. Habib, and he was given the title An-Najjar. An-Najjar in Arabic refers to a carpenter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the concern that he had for the people, and that worry and that concern, that fikr that he had for their well-being in this world as well as the akhirah, is what prompted him, drove him to rush, to run, to hurry to his people and advise them. Now, there were some lessons for us to learn from this behavior of Habib al-Najjar, rahimahullah. We touched on one or two points, and perhaps the most prominent one was the fikr and the concern that he had for his people. And that every one of us too should have this level of concern for the well-being of others. Not only their worldly well-being and not only their worldly comfort, but we should also give priority. In fact, we should give priority to their deeni well-being. That what will be the condition of their deen and the level of their spirituality and relationship with Allah in this world, in the qabr and the akhirah. Another lesson that we learn from Habib al-Najjar was that he stood up and defended the honor, the dignity, and in fact the lives of the righteous. He could have said to himself that I am a believer in Allah, I am worshipping Allah, I have isolated myself from the community and I am living in this cave. If they are killed and they are ridiculed and they become the target of hostility, why should I defend them? But what did he do? He went out and put his own life on the line to preserve the honor and dignity and defend the righteous servants of Allah. And this is something we should always try to do. Whenever we find that a righteous person, especially one inviting to the deen of Allah, has become the victim and the target of hostility of others, we should be the first to stand up and defend the righteous servants of Allah, the salihin, the pious, those who enjoy a good relationship with Allah, because Allah says about the pious that they are the awliya of Allah, they are the friends of Allah. وَمَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِرْحَرْضُ Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith al-Qudsi reported by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whosoever will express enmity and hatred towards a friend of mine, towards a wali of mine, then I have certainly announced war against such a person. So another thing we learn from Habib al-Najjar, that the moment he found that these servants, righteous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have become the target of hostility, he stood up to defend their honor and to defend the dignity of those people, even though the general community, his own people, were against him. And they had opposed him with regards to the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Another lesson that we learn before we move on to today's lesson from the life of Habib al-Najjar is that the layman or the commoner must never feel that he is absolved of the responsibility of da'wah. Every Muslim, you are qualified. You do not need any qualification in order to invite others to the deen of Allah. I am not speaking of engaging others in an academic discussion. I am speaking of da'wah ila Allah, inviting others to Allah, reminding others about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should not be considered as the responsibility and the duty of the ulama and the scholars and the learners only. But every layman, you have the qualification of Islam, which is the highest qualification that you need. And because you have this qualification of Islam, automatically it becomes your duty and responsibility to invite others to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Habib al-Najjar, he comes to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the very first thing, what does He tell them? Qal ya qawm, oh my people. Ya qawm, you are still my people. Subhanallah, now they have how many speaking to them? They had two prophets speaking to them, they rejected the two. Allah sent a third, they rejected all three. Now Allah sends a fourth, not a Nabi of course, but a believer who comes and advises them and encourages them to embrace the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So now they have four people speaking to them on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Qawm, O my people, look at the compassion that he expresses. Though they are furious and they are threatening to kill the Anbiya and they are expressing words of enmity and hatred towards the prophets of Allah, he still calls them my people. Qala ya qawm. Sometimes people want to hear it from one of their own. They want to hear it from one of their own. Sometimes it's even more convincing. Of course, you cannot compare the sun to the moon. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they have the loftiest position and status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes the community want to hear the message being promoted and advocated by one of their own kind. It's like the teacher telling the student that, you know what, the exam is coming up. You better learn and better study for the exam that is coming up. Yeah, okay, fine. You know, the student, I mean, that's the teacher's job. That's what the teacher's supposed to do. But you go that day, that home, perhaps you go home and you're not studying. You're involved in something else. And your friend comes. Your friend comes to visit you. And he tells you, hey, you know what? The exam is coming up. You really need to study. You take it much more serious. You take it much more seriously than what your teacher said to you, what your ustad said to you. So he comes and he says, look, I'm one of you guys. I belong to you, you belong to me. And listen, from me, let me tell you, I'm advising you. Qala ya qawm, ittabi'u al-mursaleen. Straight to the point. He comes straight to the point that, listen, these are al-mursaleen. They really have been sent to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ittabi'u al-mursaleen, follow the messengers. Follow these who have been sent to you from Allah. Such a great lesson for you and I. That he's speaking to the community and those people of Antakiyah. But you and I also should take a great lesson from this, that we should follow the mursaleen in every aspect of our lives. When you are suffering from any sadness or any depression, look at Yaqub alayhi salam, how he dealt with the sadness in his life. If you are suffering from an illness and from some pain and suffering, look at the life of Ayyub. If you are suffering from some form of anxiety and you are consumed by some worry or concern, look at the life of Yunus alayhi salam. A person who has been gifted abundant wealth and material comforts in this world, look at Sulaiman. Look at Dawood alayhi salam. So ittabi'ul mursaleen. Look at the life of the mursaleen, the messengers of Allah. Follow them in every aspect of your lives. So that's the first advice that he gives them. And then what does he say? He says, ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra. We come to the last ayah of the 22nd juz. Ittabi'u. Right? Now look, when you are joining it in recitation, when you are joining it, we will say, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ نَتَّبِعُوا. Right? You join it, نَتَّبِعُوا. But if you are going to pause at الْمُرْسَلِينَ, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, then you say, اتَّبِعُوا. You see the hamza there? The hamza before the ta in اتَّبِعُوا, you will read it with a kasra. So اتَّبِعُوا, again he says, follow. Right? Follow who? مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Man, those. La yas'alukum, who do not ask from you, who do not request from you, ajran, any payment. They are not asking you for any remuneration. Yes, if they were coming and asking for some remuneration and perhaps asking for a salary or some form of wage for the type of work that they are doing, the da'wah that's doing, then you can say their intentions are questionable. There's some ulterior motive behind this whole preaching and teaching. But But he says, look at them. I mean, the first thing he said was, you know, just imagine, here you have these people coming from me, coming to you from a far away place to give you some good counsel, to give you some good advice. They're taking care of themselves. They are bearing the hardships of travel. They are not asking you to lodge them and to host them. I mean, think, who does that? Will somebody with ulterior motives undertake all that hardship and all the difficulty of travel and sacrificing their comforts and leisure to come to you, not asking you any remuneration, and you still want to question their sincerity and the message with which they have come? So he's asking his people to think. Think about this. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ And study their lives. Study their lives and you will find that they are really rightly guided. Look at them. Fine. If you do not want to, if you are not convinced by what they are saying and their preaching and by the fact that they have undertaken all the difficulties for the sake of coming and giving you this good counsel, وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ Study their lives. Study their lives. Look at how they live. Look at how they interact. You will find that they have been rightly guided. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ We move on to the 23rd juz of Surah Yasin, the beginning of the 23rd juz, ayah number 22. It starts off with وَمَا لِيَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدْ What does مَا لِيَ mean? مَا لِيَ مَا لِيَ What is the matter with me? What is the matter with me? SubhanAllah, something truly amazing here. Is he the one at fault? He should be saying, what should he be saying? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you guys? But this is, you know, the methodology of a da'i, an inviter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never becomes emotional. And the attitude and the reaction of those to whom he is preaching does not affect his emotions, because the moment he allows that to happen, then his da'wah and his preaching will now be steered and it will be driven by his personal feelings and emotions, whereas it should be driven by what? Sincerity and ikhlas. You know, when Allah sent Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam to go and give da'wah to who? Fir'aun. I mean, who was Fir'aun? Fir'aun claimed divinity. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى He told his people, I am your Rabb. I am your Rabb. Very few claimed divinity to be the Rabb. Rabb. There's only one Rabb, Allah. Very few. There are people who claimed to be prophets and who claimed to be false messengers from Allah. But to claim divinity, to be God, to be Allah Himself, yet such a great crime. But when Allah sends Musa and Harun, the two of them, to Fir'aun, the tyrant, who butchered and who killed and who murdered innocent children, He tells them, what does He tell them? وَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا You are going to Fir'aun, but speak to him with kindness, compassion, and be gentle when you speak to him. Why? لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ If you are going to speak to him in that manner, then perhaps he will think and he will reflect and he will then take heed. So look at, what does he say? وَمَا لِي وَمَا لِي And what excuse do I have? لَا أَعْبُدْ أَلَّذِي فَطَرَنِي That I do not worship the one who has created me. There's a difference between فَطَرَ and خَلَقَ. خَلَقَ means to create. فَطَرَ means also to create, but the difference is khalaqa is to bring something into existence, and you could have a model. Bringing something into existence, either having a model or not having a model before you. But fatara is to originate. Rather than saying create or originate, to bring something into existence with no model before you. So what does he say? Alladhi fatarani. What is the matter with me that I should not worship Alladhi, the one who brought me into existence from nothing. Wa ilayhi turja'un, and to him shall you all be returned. Now he doesn't want to offend them. So he doesn't want to tell them, what's the matter with you? Because the people don't like to hear you. When it comes to something negative, when it comes to something positive, then everyone likes to hear you when they are being spoken to. Okay? You do this, mashallah. And you do this, Allah accept. And you do this, mashallah. But when it comes to something negative, they don't like to hear you. Right? Use a broader expression, we or I. Now, when you look at Mali, also this expression, at the beginning of the 23rd juz, Mali. Mali is actually used when responding to an objection made against somebody. Mali, it's like somebody objects, and in response to the objection, to respond, you say Mali. It's like in English, why not? When do you say why not? When somebody tells you something, hey, don't do this, then you say, why not? Okay, so like how in English you use the expression, why not? Or why shouldn't I? Similarly in Arabic you use the expression, Mali. So what does it mean? What does this show? This show that there was an objection made. He told them, what did he tell them? Ittabi'u al-mursaleen, follow the messengers. Ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra, follow those who do not seek any remuneration from you. Wahum muhtadun. So after giving them this counsel, it seems as if they objected and said to him, how dare you worship the one to whom they are calling you to? And he then said, Mali, why should I not? Why not? Now subhanallah, Allah recorded his response, but Allah did not record the objection. Allah recorded his response to that objection. The objection means nothing. It does not deserve a spot in the Quran. It does not deserve to be mentioned along with the statement made by Habib al-Najjar. So his response was recorded, but the objection was not recorded. He goes on to say, أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Should I, again, is he the one who's taking a god other than Allah? No. But he's using, it's something negative, and he doesn't want to offend them. So he's using a very gentle and intelligent approach. He says, attakhidhu, should I take gods besides him, besides Allah? Iyuridni ar-Rahman bidur. If ar-Rahman intends to harm me, see, intends to harm me, not intends to harm you. If ar-Rahman decides to harm me after I have taken other than ar-Rahman, other than the All Gracious, after taking someone else as a deity, if ar-Rahman wishes to harm me, then la tughni anni shafa'atuhum shay'a. All those who I have taken as gods besides ar-Rahman, if I were to take any other gods, all of them combined together will not be able to intercede on my behalf before ar-Rahman, wala yunqidhun, and they will not be able to come to my rescue. Here again, he uses the expression I so as not to offend them. So this is a very loving way of offering advice. He goes on to say, in ayah number 24, Inni idhal lafi dalalim mubin. If I do this, if I take any other god other than ar-Rahman, then certainly I am in clear mis-error, and I will be in clear and open misguidance. If I do that, don't ask me to do that. I cannot do that. I will be in open and clear error. Inni amantu bi rabbikum. Listen, I have brought iman in your Rabb. Guys, as much as he's my Rabb, he's your Rabb as well. Look at the expression. Now when it comes to something positive, your Rabb. I have brought iman, he should have said in my Rabb. But he wants to make them realize and understand that my Rabb is your Rabb and your Rabb is my Rabb. Again, a very positive approach in da'wah and inviting. So he says, Inni amantu, I have brought iman, bi rabbikum, in your Rabb. Fasma'un, so listen to me, give me an attentive hearing. Now there are two interpretations over here. When he says, Fasma'un, listen to me, the addressee could have been the people themselves, that you all listen to me, to what I am saying. Or he was addressing the three Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Sadiq, Saduq, and Shamun alayhimu salam, and he was telling them, Fasma'un, you all listen to me. In other words, stand as a witness before Allah tomorrow on the Day of Judgment and testify in my favor that I had fulfilled the obligation of da'wah that was presented and that was offered to me, that I had fulfilled that obligation. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. What happened next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it was said to him, to who? Habib al-Najjar, enter into paradise. Enter into paradise. These people, the community, his own people, they charged at him. After he gave them this message and sincerely gave them this advice, they charged at him. It appears in the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that they kicked at him, and with their kicks and blows they martyred him. Habib al-Najjar, they killed him. And he became a martyr. His own people, his own community had murdered him. And according to some other narrations, they threw rocks at him. They stoned him to death. And after he was martyred, what happened to the Anbiya, there is no clear record of what happened to those three Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. According to some, they were also martyred. All three of them were also killed. So four of them were killed there on the spot. They were all martyred. But from this ayah of the Quran, we understand that he definitely was killed, he was martyred. And after he was martyred, he was given the good news. Qeel, it was said to him. An angel was appointed, and that angel came to him and gave him the good news. Udkhulil Jannah. Qeel adkhulil Jannah. That, oh Habib, through the concern and the fikr that you had for the people, because you stood up for the righteous, because you came and conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, udkhulil jannah, enter into paradise. Qala ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. He then said at this stage, when it was said to him that enter into paradise, he says, I wish my people knew. I only wish that my people knew how Allah has forgiven me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me from amongst the honored ones. Insha'Allah, in tomorrow's lesson, we will further discuss the statement of Habib al-Najjar that he made after his demise. While he was in Akhirah also, he still had concern for his people. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.